Okay, in Tanya, we're on page 215 at the bottom of these Tanya's Nunches on top. Last time, we're going to start, a few of these lines we learned already. We're going to start like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines in the bottom of the page. 215 at the bottom. Okay, last thing Alter Rebbe was explaining that we learned last week, that when a Jew does a mitzvah and they unite the world with godliness, it's not only for themselves, they're doing it for everybody, because we are one nation, right? And we're all part of one big body. So when a Jew does a mitzvah, they have to have in mind, I'm not doing it only to unite myself with God, I'm actually doing it to unite the world with Hashem, the world at large. And he says, because the ultimate purpose, and he says, and the very important thing that we learned last time, that a person who's doing a mitzvah is supposed to do it for God, like a child, this you'll remember, because it doesn't exist today, like a child who do more for the parents than they would do for themselves. Right? That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. Okay. He said like this, Ava yichud nafshi, these few lines will go quickly because we learned them already. Ava yichud nafshi, but the unity of the person's soul. Okay? V'izkalus and his absorption, be'er Hashem in God, when you do a mitzvah, li'es la'chodem, to be one with Hashem. In other words, what's the purpose of a mitzvah? Mitzvah means binding and connection. So the purpose of a mitzvah is to connect us to Hashem. He says every Jew wants that. And he says, be'emes la'mita legamri, because that's the real desire of the Jew. And by the way, the Alter Rebbe doesn't say, b'zer roitza kol adam. There's, roitza means I want, and chafetz also want. But roitza is external wanting, and chafetz is internal, essential wanting. So every Jew, you do a mitzvah means binding. Okay, I do a mitzvah, I bind to Hashem. Every Jew wants to be bound to Hashem. And he says, be'emes la'mita la'gamri, truthfully. Remember, like we said, even when a person sins, they're going against their real nature, because their real nature is to be one with Hashem. B'chol lev v'chol nefesh, with all their heart and soul, me'ava ativis, from the natural, instinctive love, ha'mesuteres b'lev kol Yisrael, which every Jew possesses, l'davka v'Hashem, to cling to God. This is what every Jew wants. What does every Jew want? Realistically speaking, every Jew wants to be connected to Hashem. And v'leili parted, not to, God forbid, become separated. In other words, every Jew wants to do positive mitzvahs, because positive mitzvahs connect us to Hashem. Every Jew does not want to transgress a negative commandment, because that cuts us off from Hashem. That separates. When I actively do an act Hashem told me not to do, that's open rebellion. So I'm cutting myself off, like we learned many times. Positive mitzvahs connect me to Hashem. When I don't eat pig, I don't desecrate Shabbos, I don't connect to Hashem, because I'm not doing anything to connect. I'm not eating treif. But, so what does the negative mitzvah means? I don't want to rebel against Hashem. So if I would eat something Hashem told me not to eat, that's a rebellion, and that I don't want to do. Because again, that separates me from Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here, every Jew wants to be connected to Hashem. They don't want to be, and they do not want to be separated. To be separated and cut off. In any way, no Jew wants to be disengaged from Hashem. So every Jew wants to be connected.
What about those Jews that don't even know they're Jewish? I mean, how do you explain
their, what's going on? You ever bump into people that you've, the older on in life, and you meet them and you finally tell them that they're Jewish, they never even know they're a Jewish? You find such a thing? Okay. Yeah, okay. Now let me ask you a question. There are people in this world, okay, that are born Jewish, died Jewish, and they never even knew they were Jewish. You bumped into those people, so now you told them. And if you wouldn't have bumped into them, they're somewhere in the Midwest, in Hicksville, okay, and their mother's mother's mother happened to be Jewish.
Whatever
it may be, but they're still Jewish.
Yeah.
Right? So, we learned this in the past. In other words, like this. A person is a Jew, and they don't learn about it, at least you can blame them. Okay, listen, you're Jewish, why didn't you learn about your religion? Right? But you can't blame somebody who doesn't know they're Jewish.
No, I
one second. I'm saying, I'm telling you a case. You can have a case of a person who does not know they're Jewish. You can't even blame them because, okay, they die not knowing they're Jewish. Correct? Okay, what was the purpose of them coming into the world? Whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
And trust me, you don't know either. And the only one that knows is Hashem. Obviously, God sent them down in a mission. Obviously, you can't say God expects them to do Torah mitzvahs, because how in the world would they ever know that? Let's say, Mela, somebody knows they're Jewish. Okay, God says that, you know, you blame. If you're Jewish, why didn't you learn about it? But if they don't even know they're Jewish, why in the world would they get blamed for it? So obviously, God doesn't expect them to do Torah mitzvahs. Right?
Doing something.
Or, let me give you another example. God forbid, somebody who's born sick. Whatever the situation, mentally, physically, anyway, yeah? And they're not obligated to do mitzvahs. Correct? What is their purpose? You know what? It's God's business. Right? It's Hashem's business. It's not mine, your business. One thing is for sure, there is a purpose for them being here. But if not, they wouldn't be here. Correct? I mean, that's simple logic.
So it's internal, that this wanting to do and wanting to do the mitzvah somehow.
It has to be revealed.
It's
natural, instinctive. But it has to be revealed. And our job is to reveal that natural instinctive love in a way that it becomes a burning love and a burning fear of Hashem, that we want to be connected and we don't want to be disconnected. And he says it can even come to a level, but mesidas nefesh mamish. Mamish with self-sacrifice, ready to give up their life for not being separated from Hashem. Ve'esek ha-tero mitzvahs. And the occupation of Torah mitzvahs and davening is also mesidas nefesh mamish. It's also mesidas nefesh, giving up your life. Why? And he says, because k'mei b'tzeisim in aguf. Because when the neshama leaves the body, b'mali shivim shana, when after 70 years, he's picking the number here, 70, because that's what it says in Tillim. Shein maharedes b'tzorchi aguf. In other words, he says like this, just like when the neshama leaves the body, what is the neshama dealing with now? Only godliness. It's not interested in anything physical. It's only interested in godliness, correct? It's only interested, it has no more thought, thinking about the bodies. Elamach shafta, what is the thought of the neshama after it leaves the body? It dresses itself and becomes united with the words of Torah and Tefillah, which Dvar Hashem, which is the word of God, and God's thought, and it becomes one with Hashem. And he says, that's what the neshama should want even in the body. The neshama in the body, she want to be on the level of the neshama leaving the body when the neshama only deals with godliness, because there's no body left to deal with. It doesn't have to eat, it doesn't have to sleep, it doesn't have temptations, it's only your soul. That's the level that the neshama should reach inside the body. And he says, in fact, Zel kol eisek ha-neshamis b'gan Eden. Okay, let's put it this way. I mentioned the Shabbos. Let's understand something. The world is divided into four categories. Okay? Inanimate, plant, animal, and human. Correct? Everything's one of the four classifications. Obviously, the purpose of everything in the world is to become better. Not worse. Okay? The goal of everything in life is to become higher, not lower. So if you notice, in creation, the inanimate, like water, what do you do with it? You water a plant. Okay? The water, which was inanimate, becomes part of the growth of the plant. Correct? So therefore, the inanimate is elevated to plant life. Plants are eaten by animals. They become the blood and the flesh of the animal. So plant life elevates itself to animal life. Correct? Now, animals are eaten by humans. Like I mentioned, contrary to public belief that animals in Beverly Hills are greater than people. But according to normal life, when a person eats an animal, that's why the concept of vegetarian, because of being cruel to animals, is really against Torah to a certain extent. You have a whole debate and responses about this, but practically speaking, when a Jew eats an animal, he's elevating the animal because it becomes our blood and flesh. So you're actually elevating the animal to a human state. So everything's going up. Inanimate becomes plant. Plant becomes animal. Animal becomes human. Of course, a person could drink water also, but I'm just going level by level. So inanimate becomes plant. Plant becomes animal. Animal becomes human. Correct? Now, where does human go? Human's the epitome of creation. So, what is the uniqueness of a person? Intellect. What's the difference between us and animals? Intellect. So the ultimate elevation of the person is when they connect to God. That's where they go up. Now, a person, because they're intellectual by definition, how do they connect to God? By binding themselves to God in an unintellectual way, meaning Kabbalah Seil, acceptance of the yoke, completely illogical. So then the person becomes elevated from a human state to a godly state. Right? Now, Dr. Rebbe says this aspect of the neshama is inborn, natural, existing in the neshama of every single Jew. That it wants to connect to God, not to separate itself from God, not to be, you know, God forbid, rebel against God by negative commandments. This is innate nature of every single Jew. Even if it means giving up my life, because what's happening then? Neshama Gan Eden is dealing only with godliness. Now obviously God doesn't want us to kill ourselves. He doesn't want us to die. Torah's mitzvah is to live. Right? But that's what it's all about. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, but when you do a mitzvah, it's not only for me personally, it's for everybody. Why? And he says, not because this is good for me, because this is what God wants. Like the Alter Rebbe said, I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your Olam Haba. I want you. Right? Well, that means, you could write books on that. But in the simple meaning of it, I don't want your rewards. I don't want to be rewarded for what I'm doing. I want you. Meaning, no reward. There's no me. There's only you. And that's the ultimate way of doing mitzvahs. Not because I'm going to go to Gan Eden. Not because I'm going to get a big steak when Mashiach comes, or not. I'm doing it because this is what Hashem wants. Like he said before, the child that will do something for the parent more than they'll do for themselves. Now, it is a lofty level, by the way, but at least we can know what we have to strive to, what the goal is, ultimately. If it would be easy, it would be worthless.
But you're saying it's our nature.
Yeah.
Our nature is there.
No. The nature is there, but it's the hidden nature, the hidden love. Mm-hmm. Our job is to reveal it. Mm-hmm. What?
So you're saying it's our nature in the sense where even if we're like, okay, I need to do this right now, we're thinking that way because it is our nature, because we're feeling more towards doing things like godliness, right? That means
to reveal it. In other words, instead of loving God naturally, we want to do things to show an open love of Hashem, an open connection with Hashem. Okay? Parents and children love each other naturally, but you can't say, okay, that's it, guys. We're not going to do anything for each other because we love you naturally, and that's it. It doesn't work. Right? If you don't bring it down into action, then there's something lacking in the feeling. If you say somebody that you're close to, I love you more than anything else in the world, but I'm not doing anything for you. Why is that wrong? Because that means you only love them in the heart, not in your hand. Your hand doesn't love them. Your foot doesn't love them. You understand? When I do something with my hand, that means that my hand is connecting. My foot is connecting. That's where it really counts. And the true test of any strong relationship is not when it's easy. It's easy. That's not a test of a relationship. The test of a relationship is when it's difficult and you do it. That's why, by the way, serving Hashem in Golus is infinitely greater than serving God in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, they saw constant miracles. There was godliness all over the place. They felt it. They sensed it. So they did mitzvahs. Okay, very nice. You did a mitzvah. But it wasn't hard. When it's difficult to do it and you do it, that's the true test of any relationship. What?
And why were the prophets and the Nevi'im so distraught when they knew that what was going to happen? Would there be something dash both times? Right?
1 minute. Golus is good. That doesn't mean that's what we want. The fact that we are in Golus, what's the advantage of Golus? Everything God does is good. What's the good of it that we can accomplish much more? Right? That's what it's all about.
So, is it
a Okay, let me ask you a question. We'll go through this a million times. Surgery is good or bad?
Concept is
awful. Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
You want surgery?
No, it's bad.
It's bad.
So it's good or bad?
Bad, but ultimately good.
Yeah.
In other words,
it's scary.
I don't want it. But if I need it, it's good. Correct? If I don't need it, surgery is bad. Okay? If I need it, surgery is good. Even though it's painful. Right? The person is willing to endure pain for a week, a month, whatever the recuperation is, right? But because, then they'll feel better. No Jew wants golus. Golus is the surgery. But if we need it because this is what it's going to take to bring Mashiach, because God wants us to prove ourselves and prove ourselves to Him, that we love Him even in exile when there's no revelation of godliness and there's only nothing, and we still connect, that shows that we have a strong connection to Him. And that's why the Zohar says, Moshe Rabbeinu felt inferior when he saw our generation. Not, he was in the desert, miracles, man, right, all the miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, but these people are doing mitzvahs, wow, that's unbelievable. And he felt inferior. So that's what was good. Do we want it? No. But if we're here, make the best of it. That's what we need to do. Because ultimately, Golus is going to bring Mashiach. Jews doing Torah mitzvahs in Golus is what's going to bring Mashiach. Okay, the bottom line. Shazel kol eisek and neshamis began Eden. Because this is what the neshamis, the whole job of the neshamis in Gan Eden. Like the Gemara says in the Zayar, that's their job, Ella. What's the difference though between Gan Eden doing and our doing? He says, Shasham in Gan Eden, Misangim Basagasim, they enjoy their understanding of godliness. Because in Gan Eden, there's no body getting in the way. There's no Yetzirah getting in the way. So the Neshama basks in godliness and enjoys it. That's the reward of a Neshama in Gan Eden. Right? What's the reward of Jews doing mitzvahs? Now, you go to Gan Eden. What's the reward of Gan Eden? You drive an expensive car and, what's the reward in Gan Eden? The Neshamas are there basking in godliness and enjoying it. Now, why is that such a great pleasure? Believe it or not. So we learned those many times. The Friedrich Rebbe says in the Maimer, there are many different levels of pleasure. Pleasure, there's different levels of pleasure, right? He mentions four major pleasures, infinite pleasure, but he mentions four general ones. Eating and drinking and sleeping, that's the lowest pleasure. That's animalistic pleasure. An animal also eats and drinks. It's not uniquely human. Okay? So a person that is only into, like we said many times, they live to eat. Okay? They're like animals. But it's a pleasure, but it's a very low pleasure. A level of pleasure above that is music. People enjoy music, right? Music is a much more refined enjoyment than eating and drinking. It's more spirit. I mean, there's more spiritual or, you know, it's obviously much better. Above that, he says, is the pleasure that some people get when they do somebody a favor. You know, when you do somebody a favor, you feel good about it. That's also a pleasure. That pleasure is more spiritual than the pleasure of music. And then, now the Friedrich Rebbe says, there's another higher level of pleasure. People enjoy learning. They have pleasure studying. That's pleasure of intellect, which is obviously much greater than the enjoyment of emotions, of midas, right? What's the ultimate pleasure above intellectual pleasure? The pleasure of godliness. That's the ultimate level, right? That's what the neshama is having in Gan Eden. What the neshama is having in Gan Eden? Not eating and sleeping, not music, not doing a favor, not intellectual, godliness. That's the most refined pleasure that a person could have.
So godliness, how would you define that?
Doing Torah mitzvahs. Yeah, doing Torah mitzvahs is godliness. You're binding to godliness. The problem, he says, Dalt Rebbe is saying over here, Neshama is in Gan Eden, because they don't have a body, they enjoy what they're doing then. I mean, they don't do mitzvahs. They're getting the reward of what they did here in this world. Okay? But he says like this, V'zal tiknu b'tchilas berchas ha-shachar, at the beginning of the morning brachas, before we even say Kedem HaTfilah, what do we say? Elakai neshama shenasatabi, right? God the neshama you gave me. Ata nefachtabi, you blew it into me. And then we say, Vata asid litla mimen, then you're going to take it away from me. Right? That's what we say in the davening. We're talking before about davening, right? It's on page 5 in the Siddur, all the way at the beginning. It says, May Hashem, my God, the soul which you have given me within me is pure. You have created it. You have formed it. You have breathed it into me. You preserve it within me. You will eventually take it from me and restore it within me in the time to come, meaning by the resurrection. Okay? And then we say, so long as the soul is within me, I offer my thanks to you, Lord of my God, God of my Father, Master, okay, who restores the souls to the bodies. Why are we talking about wake up in the morning, we just got alive again, and we're saying, okay, God, you're going to take it away from me. Like, why? He says, this is what we're telling God. Because you blew it into me, I'm alive. And now you're going to eventually take it away when I die. Therefore, I'm going to give it over to you now. I'm not giving over my soul to you when I die. We're telling God, because it's you gave it to me and you're going to take it from me, I'm going to give it to you now also. What do you mean give it to you now? I'm going to do Torah mitzvahs. If I'm going to do Torah mitzvahs, that means I'm giving myself up to God. Mesiras nefesh, we learned countless times, Chassidus explains, does not mean jumping off a roof and killing yourself. Mesiras nefesh means giving your soul to God. It doesn't mean dying. It doesn't mean dying. Nefesh, Chassidus explains even more than soul, means my will. Nefesh means soul and will. Mesiras nefesh means very simply, I'm giving my soul to you. That's what it's all about. And that's what we say in davening. Because you gave me the soul, and you're going to take it back, so I might as well just be yours now too. And by the way, yes, we're doing it because this is what God wants, but we gain by it. What do we gain by it? That instead of the soul being a creation, a limited creation, we become a partner with God, and we become an infinite creator. If you become a partner with God, then you become creator, like Hashem is. So it's not, yeah, we're doing it because this is what Hashem wants. But the bottom line is, what happens to our neshama, and to our body for that matter, is we become Hashem's partner in creation, because Hashem wanted a dwelling place down here, right? So He created the down here. Who makes the dwelling place? Who brings Kedusha into the world? Hashem doesn't bring Kedusha into the world. Hashem created a low world. We bring the Kedusha into the world, right? So if Hashem created the world, just think for a second, to have a dwelling place, meaning holiness down here, so Hashem said, okay, we got a partnership. I am creating the world. I'm giving you the land. You build the building. In other words, I'm giving you the world. Make it holy. I'm giving you the world. Your role is to make it holy. And that's the mission of a Jew. To make the world holy. But then we become Hashem's partner in creation, which means, as the Rebbe said once, it means instead of being creation, which is limited, we become an unlimited creator. And therefore, five lines in the top. L'chein mi'at ani meisro machzir alach. Therefore, I'm giving it to you now. I'm giving it over to you. L'yachto b'yach b'achdusach. To be united in your unity. Okay? Meaning, to be united with your oneness. Because like it says in what we've been telling, we say it in davening, Elecha Hashem nafshi esa, to you God I elevate my soul. How do we elevate our soul? He says, Haidei hiskashus machshavti b'machshavticha, by connecting my thoughts to God's thoughts, meaning by learning God's thoughts, Diburei b'diburcha, b'diburach, my speech in your speech, b'eisis at Torah v'atfila, with doing Torah and Tfila. And how do I give my hand, my action? By doing action and mitzvahs, I'm giving myself over to Hashem. So that's the remarkable concept of doing mitzvahs. What? If you think about it, it's the ultimate achievement that a person can have is to become godly. To make another $1 million, to become a CEO, to become a president, whether you Twitter or not, but you become a president, that is all within a limited realm.
Yeah, but if you make $1 million to give to Zaka, it's tough. So really
correct. But if in order to make $1 million, you have to steal and desecrate Shabbos and cheat and lie and not daven with a minyan and all that, so what are you doing?
What if you give it to tzedakah?
I understand, but I'm saying, you know.
No, I get it. Yeah.
No, Hashem wants Jews to be wealthy.
He wants you to be wealthy, but
he wants to be wealthy to give tzedakah. But that's what Mesiras Nefesh means. Al Rebbe is explaining the fundamental aspect. Mesiras Nefesh means, God, I am connecting myself to you to think my thoughts should be your thoughts, my speech should be your speech, and my actions should be your actions. That's the ultimate way of connection. You know, they say that people that are very, very close can finish the other one's sentence, you know? That's another unity that, which by the way explains it later already, but like we learned many times. Therefore, a tzaddik, who is completely connected and never disconnected, because they don't do any sins, right? Their mind becomes a godly mind. Their heart becomes a godly heart. And therefore, you can ask a Rebbe questions about medicine, real estate, business, right? All these things. He never saw the chart, the medical chart. How can he answer you if you should do surgery or not? Right? The answer is very simple. Does God know if you should do it or not? A godly mind knows whether you should do it or not. Does God know real estate? A godly mind knows real estate. Whether you should buy or not buy, or do or not do. All these things, it's all, okay.